last week teaching in 10 minutes for the benefit of those that were not here. Abby, don't we want that? Victoria, sure you want that kind of recap? Praise God. Okay, let me give a brief recap. Last week, Sunday, we looked at what music was or what music is. And we said music is a combination of sounds to make a pleasant harmony. So sound like bam, bam. Please, let me just press something on that keyboard. Just... So when you combine those sounds to make something that is melodious, that's music. And we distinguish that from Christian songs in that since you cannot have Christian sounds, except somebody becomes so righteous and born again, I'm expecting that one day the members of this church will our music team will advance to bring our own special Holy Ghost Spirit filled Doremi. Until that comes, we don't have Christian music. We have Christian songs. And we said songs is what? Words accompanied by music, right? Music accompanied with words, one of those. So we discovered that what distinguished a Christian song from other songs is the lyrics. So it is the words contained in a song that we can pinpoint and say, okay, this is a Christian song. And because we are believers, that was the series we just ended, our identity. Because we are believers, we are supposed to, everything about our life is supposed to portray who we are, right? Right? Including our songs. Okay, so we focused on the fact that if it is the lyrics of a song that distinguishes what Christian music, Christian songs are, it means we must pay 100% attention to what we sing. Right? And then we give a lot of examples, and everybody started bringing out their old man, resurrecting it, bringing old songs that's from the days before the Lord helped them, in quote. So we saw a lot of songs, and then we analyzed it here. And so it's not as if we're just trying to criticize songs, but songs must be a true reflection of what the beliefs of Scripture is. It's not just that so long as there's God inside or there's Jesus inside, then it's a Christian song. No. What makes a Christian song is what is sung inside the things that are inside the song, irrespective of who sang it. So the fact that somebody is a known evangelist does not mean that if he sings anything, we should just take it. We must scrutinize every song in the light of Scriptures. We looked at Colossians 3:16. To let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching one another in your songs, in your psalms, in your hymns. And then we realize that our songs must teach. Praise God. Is there any other thing we missed? That's just a summary, a brief summary of all that we talked about. And of course, plenty of analysis of the songs. Don't worry, soon you'll be able to get them or get that teaching and focused. But I think that's just to bring us to the point we are in now. You know, the topic is Christian songs and worship. So last week we focused mostly on songs. Today we are going to talk about worship and then continue from there. Okay, so when we were talking about worship last week, we said worship is... Okay, let me not ask somebody that wasn't here so that I will not get them. We discovered that worship is not the slow part of the song, like those days that our choir ministers, when they give them 15 minutes praise, 10 minutes worship. So we'll know that when they sing the fast one, that is praise. Then when they switch from the fast one to the slow one, we say, okay, they are now doing worship. So we're able to clear that. Worship is not whether fast or slow the song is. Worship is simply a reverence or glorification or adulation or your attitude in worship or your attitude in praising or glorifying God. And then we gave the examples about the wise men where the Bible says they came to worship Jesus. So how did they worship? Did they go there and say, oh, Jesus, thou art born. You are beautiful in all. So they weren't doing that. But the act of giving gifts, the act of kneeling and paying obeisance, that's worship. And we realize that as believers, our attitude, even during worship, matters. It's not just that we are saying, Adonai, we worship you. Holy Spirit, you are so good. So when you are singing that, even though there's already worship inside the song, and yet your mind, your everything is far from worship. You don't even know, you're not even paying attention to what you're saying. that's not worship. Worship goes beyond the words, it goes to our attitude, and it goes to every single thing that we do, including the whole process. So it's just to glorify God. Praise God. Are we on the same page so far? All right, I know this is a very brief summary, but we have to move on. And one important thing we said last week was that when we worship God, we must worship God in the reality of who he actually is. And then we gave an example about persons that praise God because he created ancient mountains and because he created the river, created River Niger, River Benue. And then we see, how can see one river? The river does not overflow to this point. Oh God, you are great. And so we discover that that's not the reason we praise God. The greatest thing that God did is the new creation and what he took him to get you. In quotes, the whole process of redemption. That's the greatest of God's power displayed according to scriptures. So when you want to worship God in for who he actually is, you worship him in light of redemption. Praise God. All right, so let's start. We'll continue today with worship. We'll start with John 4. Of course, that's one of the few scriptures we have where Jesus himself categorically spoke concerning worship. John 4. I know many of us know this story. The Samaritan woman by the well that Jesus asked for water. So they had a lot of conversation. They were talking about, give me water to drink. And she was hesitating. Why would you ask for me for water? You are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We're not supposed to speak with each other. And Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would be the one asking me for water instead. And the woman was surprised and said, how can I be asking you for water when you don't even have something to draw from this well? And Jesus told her, the water I will give you is not this well water. It is the one that you will never thirst again. So they continued their conversation to how many husbands she has had. And she spoke the truth like that. So that's the background to the story. All right, so let's start from verse 19. John 4, verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Are we there? John 4:20. Now, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, let's see. Let's just imagine the what would have been going through that woman's mind. And she was trying to draw a similarity or trying to draw Jesus into a discussion, not necessarily a contention, that where is actually the proper place for worship? We worship on this mountain. You people say, no, if you're not worshiping in Jerusalem, you're not yet worshiping. So what is actually the proper place? And Jesus, rather than saying, actually, Jerusalem was the place instituted by the Almighty God, a particular mountain, the city of David, all those plenty analysis, he switched our attention to something that was yet to come. Praise God. As at that time he was talking, it was yet to come. So Jesus was talking concerning an hour or a time that had not yet happened. That's why he said the hour cometh. And the reason why he said now is because, of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of Jesus is the fulfillment of all prophecies. So he said, our comment and now is, when did I worship God? Was worshiping in spirit and in truth. And then he said something very significant. He said, God is spirit. That means to worship God, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. Which brings, I'm sure the woman will be like, okay, how can you, because, you know, it's funny how, you know, even our ancestors then, though they will say all those, they are Madioha, and in quotes, they are all spirits. But they will still craft something a physical representation that they can see and say, okay, at least when they are doing something physically to this thing, they know that their mind is more, we are worshipped. Because the human mind is more attuned to be able to attach things and worship to physical things. You want to be able to feel it more when you can see. That's why many persons will go to Jerusalem, for example, because there, at least you see the Ark of the Covenant, you see the whole setting, and your mind already tells you that, okay, this place is special for worship. Or why some believers will attribute worship as something to be done in church. So when they're in church, that is where you should lift your hands. That's where you should sing. That's where you do all that. Whereas, if they're not in church, they don't have that same reverence. Do you understand? Because the human mind has tied worship to a particular location or a particular activity. And Jesus was redirecting our focus and said, worship is done in spirit and in truth, because the person you're actually worshiping is a spirit. Okay, all right, so let's start from that. That is our anchor scripture, and we're going to start from that. Okay, now, what is truth? Because many definitions have come out from truth, but we'll just define truth as the Bible has said it. So, John, the same book of John, John 1:14. John 1:14. Are we there? Just flip, just like 2 pages before that. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we didn't start from verse 1, but who was that scripture referring to? Moses, are you here? Who was that scripture referring to? Jesus. Okay, all right, let's look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Okay, so in these two scriptures, we see an analogy where John, I wanted to call him John the Beloved, but he gave himself that name anyway. So John was writing concerning Jesus, and then he attributed truth to Jesus. Of course, we know John was writing these things in hindsight. I'm sure by now we know that that's full of grace and truth. Does not mean two separate things, like grace, 50% grace, 50% truth. So you mix it together, make up Jesus. I don't have time to go into that. That's not the focus of my study. So let's look at John 14, what Jesus said concerning himself. John 14, verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, are we there? John 14, 6. In this church, you should either be opening your Bible or writing. John 14, 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Now, of course, the background to the story, he was talking about the fact that he's going to go make a way and the rest. And Philip wanted to find out where that way was. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Of course, that was not separate things. Like, he was simply trying to explain who he was. So, in the light of scriptures, who is the truth? Who is the truth? That means worshiping God outside of Christ is falsehood. Praise God. All right. So, let's see. There's no truth outside Christ. So there's no how you're going to just paint it and say, okay, it's this truth here does not just mean that it's not a lie. It's the fact that truth personified is the person of Christ Jesus, and you cannot worship the Father outside him. All right. So then let's talk about the Spirit. Jesus said you will worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay. Of course, in this church, it is... Okay, let me not assume. Let us open our Bibles. Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9. This is just preliminary. I'm trying to go as fast as I can to where my message is. Okay, Romans 8:9 from verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, many persons have taken that first part of the scripture to say that it is if the spirit of Christ is dwelling in you, that is when you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. So you can be a believer and not have the spirit of Christ. Or when the spirit of Christ goes, when you've sinned and then it leaves, then at that point in time, you're in the flesh. But Paul qualified what he was saying, the second part. And I said, now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of who? So, is it possible to be a believer and not have the Holy Spirit? Good. That's why I said we'll not spend too much here. Okay, the believer is one spirit with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Okay, from verse 16 it says, "What know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he shall be one flesh." 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now that this is the beautiful thing about salvation. The fact that the spirit of man in union with the spirit of Christ forming one entity. Now it's not like the spirit of Christ is just like a cup that they now poured something inside, like they poured the spirit of Christ into your spirit, and then your spirit is like, actually you right now you have only one spirit, which is the new creation, and that spirit is the spirit of Christ. That does not make you the Holy Spirit. You are not the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Oh, are you the Holy Ghost? You're not the Holy Ghost. You're not that spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is still a distinct personality. But at the new birth, the Spirit of God indwelt your spirit, formed a union, one single DNA that is now the spirit of the new creation, which is a very special and unique spirit. It is an irreversible process. All right, so that is to show us the believer's standpoint, right? The one in Christ, which is the truth, and the one that has the spirit, praise the Lord. That means your location or your identity is where? Praise God. Okay, so that's the basis. Let us, okay, just to read one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 20. Are we there? For all the promises of God in him. Okay, in case you want to know who that him is, let's start from verse 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yes. That means he's trying to say God inside Christ, if you don't see yes and no at the same time, in him was yes alone. For verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Who is that him? Christ Jesus. That means as many as be the promises that God has ever promised in this whole thing. Do you understand? They all find their fulfillment in Christ Jesus. That means there is no pending promise that God is owing anybody. So the person's crying and said, oh Lord, remember the promise that you promised me. Remember those are persons that have special covenants with God. Oh Lord, I have a covenant with you that this, you promised me this and I hold you to it. Whatever you cannot find in Christ, whatever has not been fulfilled in Christ, is not a promise you can hold God to. That's not my message. Let me know if I digress. In Christ, everything is fulfilled. In Christ is yes and amen. That means what Jesus was speaking concerning and saying, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, and now is where they that worship the Father will worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Is that still a desire of the Father? Is that still a desire of the Father? It has been fulfilled in Christ. Good. So there is no pending promise. There is no pending desire. There is no something that is still waiting to be done. In Christ, everything is fulfilled. Meaning that you and I are the only ones qualified to worship God. That means before the new creation, nobody had ever worshipped God. Shall we have the same page with that? Before the new creation, nobody has ever worshipped God. I know it's a lot in the Old Testament too, and Abraham killed a ram and worshipped God. In fact, sometimes even the Noah did burnt offering and worshipped God. They will not see that the glory of God descended, and this person has killed how many 1,000 sheep and 1,000 cattle, and then God just appeared and said, ask me anything, I'll give it unto you. And that's when the person felt like, when you praise God, he himself comes down to collect the praise. So all those plenty, before Christ or before the new creation, nobody has worshipped God. They tried in their own way. They did all they could. But God is a spirit, and he was still seeking for the ones qualified to worship him. It means it took the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to make you able to worship God. Meaning, it is not a role you should take lightly. The unbeliever cannot worship God, no matter how much he tries. Forget those. That's why every time I go out, I keep trying to clear the air. When the Muslim will say, we are all worshiping the same God. It's not a lie. I don't know who you are worshiping, but you're not worshiping God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not worshiping that God, then I don't know who you are worshiping. So only the believer, only the man in Christ can worship God. The Muslim man can go and lie down and pray, is it 5 or 6 times a day, and face one thing and bow down and all the thing. And in his mind, he's worshiping God, right? But is he? Is he? See why you should not take your role lightly. The worship of God is not something that anybody can just stand up and do and say, oh, God. Even if they say all the right words, even if you come to church and cram, how do these people worship God? Okay, they used to say this, they used to say this. Even if they come and say, oh, God, thank you for the Lord, they've not worshiped God. Because the location of worship is in the spirit, and only the new creation is in that location. Praise God. All right, so we'll continue from that. And see Jesus' emphasis in that John 2:24. He said, they that worship him must. Just see the certainty. As in, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Meaning that there is no alternative. There's no back door. There's no corners. It is must. It's a strict requirement. There are strict parameters in worship. And they that worship God must do it in spirit and in truth. Okay, so, all right. The worship of God is the exclusive privilege of the man in Christ. Okay, so there's something we're going to digress about that now. Okay. You know, there is this common, many persons have not been able to understand fully the magnitude of being called a son of God. Because until you actually understand that, your worship might not be as heartfelt as it should be. I know growing up in many churches, the way we worship God most times, or how we want to feel like we have worshiped God, is to demean ourselves, is to make ourselves look like we are nothing. That's why you can say we are nothing but pencils in the hand of the Creator. Or, oh God, who am I? I am just a empty sinner. I am a dust on the earth. I'm just a fly on your wall. You know, those kind of, do you understand? Those kind of, see, I'm trying to be very serious today so that I will not play too much like last week. Please, let me be serious. Praise God. We will not play today seriously. Praise God. So let's continue. So many times, persons try to, in worshiping God, in trying to magnify God, they make themselves look more or less nothing. So the piety of that worship, or the fullness of that reverence, comes from the fact that you can show that God is so big, and then you are so small and not even qualified to worship him in the first place, and then you feel it's in that kind of instance that is when you have given God full worship. But that worship doesn't please God. Because one, you must worship God from a standpoint of a son. You are not a mere creature. There's a big difference. You know, many persons will say, there's a song we have in my local language, that the ground is worshiping God, the mountains are worshiping God, the trees are worshiping God, everybody's worshiping God. That if me as a human being that have life, I cannot worship God, then all these other things, we worship God. Do you understand? So we give that impression that every other thing can worship God. The grass on the field is worshiping God. This thing is worshiping God. So we are just one of the persons that are worshiping God as well. That is a very wrong mindset. So we must correct and disabuse your mind of that. Creations or whatever does not worship God. You are the only one that has the ability. You are the only one that has the locus standi. Okay, that's illegal. You know what I'm trying to say? I don't know how to say it in English. I don't want to have the look. You are the only one that can worship God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you are a son of God. Never in your worship of God lose that esteem. You don't have to make yourself nothing to give God perfect praise, in quotes. Rather, give when you make say yourself or see yourself and say who He has actually made you, you have given God the best praise ever. Do you understand? So worship is not the fact that you have demeaned yourself. See the song we sang today now, I'm sanctified in Him, right? I'm holy in Him. That is who you are. It's not a function of pride. It's not like, oh Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive me so that I can worship. You are not an unbeliever. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we not only have the authority or the locus standi to worship, we have the ability as well. All right. We are not slaves, neither are we mere creatures. We are different from rocks and sun and the rest. We are sons of God. And this knowledge must be with us at all times when we worship. Okay, so we have looked at the fact that you are not unqualified to worship. You are qualified. You are actually the only person that can worship God. Now let us go. Let's continue. We'll look at, let's just go to the main part we are going to speak about today. You know, we just said something about the fact that you don't just have the authority, you also have the ability, right? Okay, so now what is that ability we have to be able to worship God? Let's look at the scripture. You know, for example, how do I know that you are born again and the other person is not? For example, I keep telling Brother Osi that if I'm going on outreach and I see him on the road and I don't know him before, I'll be treating him like a Muslim. Do you understand? Because he has the look, he has the beard, he has the everything of a Muslim. And he has this. And if he just wears that kaftan, that's the end. I will just greet him, salam alaikum. So I'm just teaching from there. So it's not, there is no distinction between, if you want to look for physical differences, you might not find any. For example, this sister now with her hair looking like this, she's not looking like a spiritual sister at all. She's just with the big loop earrings and the rest. You don't do that. Why is your lip red? And why are you wearing? That's not the quality of a believer. Those days, how they know believers are, we know them with their long skirts. We know them with the fact that they don't make their hair. Like Rejoice is looking so close. Yes, I like your shirt is that has reached the top. Hell, see the way I'm even dressed. So we'll cover. There's no jewelry, no adornments, no nothing. Just physical appearance. But we have known that it is not the physical appearances that distinguishes who the believer is. So where is the difference? Where does the difference exist? Where does the difference exist? That means the difference in our worship will also be where? Good. Okay, so we'll continue from that. Ephesians 5, 17 to 20. Ephesians 5. 17 to 20. What is our ability to worship? How do believers worship God? Okay. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll come back to the scripture. We'll just see a point here where Paul said, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he talked about speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, meaning that whatever we are going to do after that is an offshoot of the fact that we are filled with the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That means speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, everything you are doing is a product of the fact that you are filled with the Spirit. Do you understand? So, and it is a product of that, and is also making you also filled. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because when we sing in tongues, we are doing that because we are filled with the Spirit. And as we sing in tongues, we are actually being filled with the Spirit. So it's a two-way thing. Praise God. We'll continue. We are going to the main place we are going to today. Okay, so what is now that Spirit? Paul gave a template. Paul made it more plain in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Because it's easy for persons to just say in the spirit. And then, at least I know when I was growing up, when you say somebody is in the spirit, it means the person has, you know, when they say you are in the spirit, you're just like, you know, that kind of, the person can no longer move, the person cannot smile, the person will say, oh, that person is slain with the spirit, he has gone. Or as you are in church like this, that rejoice, you just do, and just keep doing that. And you say, just leave her, she's in the spirit. You know, that's how we have looked at in the spirit to mean when you are, when you have drifted from humanity and you are no longer with us, you are now captivated. I know there in my church, a woman will just jump up. Woo! Just hear the Lord! She will say, scatter the chair, they fall down, bam, and she'll be there for the next 30 minutes. Nobody will touch her. They say, please leave her. She's in the spirit. So that is our own definition of in the spirit. So when if you just say something like we worship God in the spirit, or we just say it like that, there's a tendency for persons to associate that worship to that. So okay, when you are now in the spirit is when the spirit has taken over. When instead of you using 30 minutes to sing, you're not using 1 hour. You say, oh, I'm in the spirit, I cannot stop. The spirit has taken over my whole body. So you're just like pastor was giving an example. He told somebody, he went to a church, I was supposed to pastor, and he told the leader, okay, sing in the spirit. And the leader said, oh, we love you, Lord, we love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, we love you. Oh. And you know it's romance. Why are you romancing? Sing in the spirit. Many persons don't even know. There's a good friend of ours. I'm not going to call his name so that he doesn't embarrass him when he listens to this. His first time I was asked him, how do you sing in the spirit? He said, we sing in wisdom. Sing in love. So we don't ever make the mistake that once you just sing in the spirit, somebody understands what you mean. Praise God. So we're not laughing at anybody in case you still have that mindset. We just scriptures. Praise God. So what does it mean to be in the spirit or sing in the spirit? 1 Corinthians 14. We're not going to sing. I can't read this. I'm sure we all know when we study tongues, we exhausted this chapter. Assistant pastors. Okay, verse 14. Let's start from, okay, let's start from verse 13. Praise God. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what was Paul talking about? What was he talking about? Speaking word. Rejoice, is that what Paul was talking about? Paul was talking about tongues, right? Paul was talking about tongues, right? Okay, let us read it again. Verse 13. Can we look at our Bibles? Wherefore, let him that speaketh in tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So Paul was talking about tongues. Then verse 15, I said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. All right, so when Paul said I will sing with the spirit, what did he mean? I will sing in what? Are we on the same page concerning that? If you have any question relating to that, please just meet me after service. Because I know this during outreaches, this caused a lot of issues. Some persons will say, the spirit does not mean tongues. So, if we are starting from the beginning of the chapter, you will see what Paul was teaching tongues in church. Praise God. So, he was talking, the whole chapter was dealing about tongues. Then when he came to verse 14, and he said, verse 15, he said, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. The reason he said that was because earlier on, he had talked about interpretation and the necessity of interpreting tongues when you are ministering to others. So Paul now said, when I pray, if I'm ministering to people, I'll pray in tongues and I'll pray with the understanding. That means I will give the interpretation. Then I will also sing in tongues and I will sing in the interpretation or in the understanding also. Praise God. So how do we worship in the spirit? I know we have all done. I know that the persons have not agreed. How do we worship in the spirit? Okay, the word will continue. Praise the Lord. Okay, all right. So I will sing with my in the understanding, and I will sing with the spirit. I will sing in the understanding also. Verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily give thanks. For thou verily give thanks how? For thou verily give thanks how? But, okay. Now, when we sing in tongues, we give thanks well. As in, well is well. Okay, the other meaning for well, according to me, I don't like root words and all those. Okay, it means beautifully, it means excellently, so that there's no room for blame. It means when you sing in tongues, when you want to just, for example, if you are going to sing a song, now your mind can take a minute and process the lyrics and say, okay, let me just pause and hear what they are saying, because it might not be correct. But when you sing in tongues, there's no room for such errors. It is perfect. As it's coming out, it is full, complete, perfect. And of course, that same chapter from verse 2 said, he that speaketh in tongue, speak not unto who? By now we should all know the scripture. He speaks not unto who? But unto. So when we are speaking in tongues, or we are singing in tongues, who are we singing to? Do we need to interpret it? Do we need to interpret it? Because God understands. But if, like Brother Osi came here now today, and then he just sang in tongues 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, he was just enjoying himself singing in tongues. All of us. I know at the beginning we were all joining. But somebody that is not used to that kind of environment will just be looking at people, all kind of like, okay. Okay. Okay, these people don't, they crazy. As you know, sometimes when you're not used to tongues, you enter into such a gadget, you first of all pause, because we have plenty of languages in Nigeria. You just want to know whether they are singing in a Calabar or one of all those Idoma, all those kind of languages that you are not yet used to. And then you just see that, okay, there's no only that person, though. Every other person is talking that same strange thing. And what this person says is not rhyming. What this person says, I say, okay, they are nowhere. And then the person runs away and refuses to come again. I say, those people in that church, they are just mad. Praise God. So that's why understanding comes in. That is why, for the sake of even not just for the sake of the unlearned, but for even ourselves, when we come to church, we are ministering to God and we are ministering unto ourselves as well. Praise God. And you cannot edify me when you are singing it. I will, my spirit will, when you sing in tongues, there's just a way, there's just this connection. We're just happy. There's this relaxed atmosphere that just comes, everybody just singing in tongues. Yes, my spirit is connecting, but at the end of the day, you have not, in quote, blessed me. So because I am ministering to persons, I will sing in the interpretation as well, or sing in songs in our understanding. Okay, but what I want to emphasize in that scripture is that when you sing in tongues, you give God perfect praise. It is perfect. It is complete. It does not lack anything. Everything that should be in it is there. Okay, all right, so we must not despise tongues. I know at least majority of us here understand it already. Why? You know, at this point, some persons will now say, are you now saying that when we are singing songs in English, we have not praised God or we have not worshipped God? Or are you now saying that, because there are some persons that, like I know when I went to Accra one time and one of the persons in my husband's church, he didn't know I was not Yoruba. She was just speaking a lot of Yoruba, and I was looking at him, and I was just smiling. I was just smiling and nodding. So if maybe he asked me a question that he expected a response, and I was just smiling and nodding. When I heard "bo," I know he was talking about understand. Me a boy Yoruba dada. That is, I know that one. He said, "If you see the way it is, as if." Hey, Shake Boy you. Hey, it is like I'm disadvantaged. Do you understand? Like, I'm not joking. He now switched to English. He said, how can you not understand? Yoruba is the language to praise God. You know, Yoruba is the language you pray with. He now told the other person that, I said, you understand that there's a kind of prayer you cannot pray when it's not Yoruba. But when you switch to Yoruba, you know the thing, the person was really nodding and like, it's true. Like, so everybody claimed that their language, that when they switch to their language, the prayer touches their belly. As if that's what they feel like. Oh my God, that's their own Greek and Hebrew. They are just praying. So you see some persons, when you reach the time that they say, okay, mean what you say, some persons will just switch to their dialect. Even in my sister's wedding, when they called my sister out, I called my dad and said, okay, who is giving out this girl to be married? My dad came out. Said, okay, bless your daughter. Like, bless her. And if you had caused all those kind of their things, if you have placed any curse, remove it. If you have just release her, she's going to ask her and pray. And I said, okay. So I know at that point in time, my dad can speak English, but of course, he's more fluent in his local language. So he carried the microphone and spoke and prayed in Isha. As in my, he just laid down on my sister's head, and it was, if we that, though it was really deep, even me, I understood that it was deep. No. I was not feeling sorry for the persons that could not understand, because it was, and the persons that understood in Isha, they were all the, as they were told that this is heartfelt prayer. Just so that was heartfelt for them. So it was praying in Isha, and everybody was happy. But what concerns the people that, you know, it doesn't care about the persons that are here or not. People are your own. I'm blessing my daughter. And he did it in a way he felt was comfortable. So that's how many persons feel like, are you now seeing when I'm singing in that my local language? But it's not their fault. Even me, I know. There are some songs in my tribe. When I'm singing like this, I don't want to sing anymore. Some people will not laugh at my language. It's just lovely. I'm singing in my head, and it's just going. You know, there's some beautiful songs you just sing in your language, and it makes more meaning to you in quote. But that is, so person, are you not seeing when I'm doing that, I am not praising God well? You know, the funny thing is, you know, when we started from, a lot of persons attribute worship to something tangible that they can feel. And because you can understand your native language very well, or you can understand English very well, when you are saying the things in what you can understand, it tends to give you, it tends to make your mind more involved in the process. And when your mind is more involved in the process, that, you know, there is this, the mind is the emotional part. So there is this emotions that stir up when we do a lot of things, including movies. There's some persons, like I do a friend, that if you tell her that you lost a friend or you lost your father, she won't cry. She will tell you, sorry, life goes on. Just move on. You know, that kind of strong mind. She doesn't cry. But if she's watching a movie and somebody died in the movie, you see her crying. How did he die? Oh, boy. And you know these Indian movies that can just, you just cry from beginning to end. She will just be crying. I'll be like, you did not cry when somebody died. Even somebody close to her, she won't cry. But if it's the movie, her mind processes it more, and then she's now emotionally more attuned. So the fact that some persons can relate or feel some things more does not necessarily mean that at that point in time, what they are doing is accurate. For example, this person that will not cry in a real-life situation but will cry in a movie, does it make the movie real? Do you understand? It doesn't make the movie real. But it just means at that point, our own mind can process things faster. And when it comes to the things of God, after all, it's the one we are worshiping. So he says we should worship him how? So is it we that will not come and tell him that, see, you don't know what you are saying actually. When you are saying in spirit, I know you mean in spirit, but what you actually mean is that it is just the fact that we should also be spirit worshiping. Men and brethren, let us obey scriptures as it is. Of course, when we sing in English, does not mean that we have not worshipped, though. Praise God. Before you guys say, I did not say we have not worshipped, though. Praise the Lord. We're talking about scriptures. The precedence that Paul gave here is, I will sing in the spirit, and I will sing in the understanding also. That means you have the ability to worship God. How? In the spirit. That means each of you can birth forth new songs. See, I'm taking my time to just be explaining small like this, unlike last week, because of what we are going to do next, too. So that nobody tell me that they don't understand. Each one of us will bring forth songs. Glory to God. Glory. Glory to the Lord. So you will be the one to sing in tongues, and you will give us new songs and teach us new songs here, and we will all have a good time. Praise the Lord. Do you have the ability? So in case there's anybody that says here now, if you know you cannot do it, just let me know before I continue the teaching, so that maybe Pastor Ezekiel will just take you outside and make sure you can do it before you join us. Praise the Lord. Because as I'm going around, whether I know your name or I don't know your name, I know some person already feeling like she doesn't know me, so you don't know that it's even the people I don't know. They are the ones I like to terrorize. Praise the Lord. So I'll just give you the microphone, your turn, and then you just bless us. Glory to God. So that's why we are starting slow. Each person can do it. We are to sing in tongues and we are to interpret. Okay, I will not spend too much time on interpretation of tongues. I'm sure we have that covered somehow. All right, so before we go further, we'll just look at one other thing, inspiration. What is the inspiration behind our songs? This is the crux of the matter. You know, last week we were talking about the fact that lyrics is what makes a song, Abby. Lyrics is what makes the song a Christian song. Okay, Ramankel, what is your favorite non-gospel song? Secular song. What's your favorite? Sing one. What's the meaning of Eyo? Eyo means rejoice. This is just a complicated process. Okay. So from that song, the woman is saying we should rejoice. That's a spiritual injunction too now. So we can use that one as after the rejoice is also something we can sing in scripture, Abby. So that can also qualify, right? Abby? Did you hear Brad Michael? So why are you not in the music team? We'll give you a microphone next week. And then when you are leading, you will start singing, Ayo, Ayo, oh. Instead, people to rejoice. Please, my brother, what's your name? What's your favorite non-gospel song? See, spiritual. What do you call science waiting? Is science student a song? Is a song? Science student? No, I'm actually sure. Is science student a song? Okay, I don't understand this, but people should not derail me. Sing the song I know. What's your favorite non-gospel song? Your recent one is woe. Okay, hey, now that's the one we analyze. See them. You have partners. Okay. I don't know what that person was singing, but he was saying, is your Bible saying, but I don't know. So, woe. Okay. All right. So, let us agree. The lyrics of that song, is it Christian? Okay. But you like the tune, Abby? You like the beat. Okay. So, what if we change it and say, now we are praising the Lord, whoa, as we dance in this place, as we rejoice in the Lord, and we dance in it. So the Lord has done it. He died for our sins, so He resurrected for us. So when we do it like that, are we? If we see victory, I'm not in the head, like, wow. I can compose some. See, I'm your proud. Oh, I said this week we are going to be serious. Wow. Praise the Lord. So if we do that, is it not a Christian song, brother? Dark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Good. So he said, since we say the lyrics is what matter, if the lyrics communicate the gospel, then the song can switch to a Christian song. In view of that, I will to all of you write me a list of all your favorite non-gospel songs that you feel guilty about singing because they're not Christian. So we can change it. Abby? So what's your own? You have plenty. Just give me one. with anyone. Give me a song. I'm not joking. We have to move past this. Mm-hmm. Wake me up before you go. I don't know the tune of that one. I can't compose something. Eh? Okay. You need a little more. A little more. Oh, my God, my God. Hey, brethren, are you coming and sing your sanctified? I know the casual of you today. So that one is, I need a little more. Okay. Of your love. Oh, so we can even turn it to God. You just put, oh Lord, Jesus, I need a little more of your love. Just a little more of your love. Wake me up in the morning with your love, Jesus. So when I do it, has it turned to a Christian song? Yes. Hallelujah. Hey, glory to God. I'm just excited today. Okay. Who is the last person I'm going to meet? You have already answered. Okay, Joshua S. Tell me your favorite. Don't even do that kind of thing that you don't know. Oh, your this man's not hot. Yes. No, it's easy to tweak that. You don't know. I got died for you and the raised up Christ again on the third day. Let's catch up. Just saw. He showed the devil's crack. And then the devil went poop, poop, boom. And then he goes. Yeah, man's not dead. Man's not dead. Come on, you said you got a spirit, so man's not dead. Hey, man can never be dead. Yeah, I'm feeling good myself. So when we've see Joshua is nodding like, oh, like I'm just giving him. I'm showing him how to sing the song. Well, I see. So when we turn that like that, Andrew, isn't that a Christian song? Yes. I like my church members. Praise the Lord. After all, we said the lyrics that make a song, a Christian song, Abby. So if the song, if we can change it, it means that it's not a Christian song. Glory to God. All right, so now we are talking about inspiration. All this all of you that have said this thing today, your name has been erased from the book of life. Okay, so that's the question we ask. If it's what makes a song Christian song is the lyrics, does it mean we can take any song, change it, and make it a Christian song? Job 32. Job 32. Are we there? Okay. The background of this story in Job. Remember, Job was going through a lot, and then his friends were coming to prove to him that the things were upon him because he sinned. But Job was trying to prove to his friends that he was righteous and he did not commit any sin. That God was probably just punishing him for something he does not know what he did. So they were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. At the end of the day, nobody had an answer to give Job anymore. And everybody kept quiet. So now we're looking at Job chapter 32. So these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. I'm in verse 5 now. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and does not show you mine opinion. I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Okay, did you see that? Did you follow that scripture? So Elihu was young. It was probably like with Joyce. And then some persons were older than him. And they were all talking, and he kept quiet. In his mind, if these people are older, they have gray hairs, it means they should know better. But when nobody had an answer, he said, okay, well, now that people don't have an answer, I said before I will keep quiet so that the elders will talk. But now it's not a matter of age. There is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty that gives him understanding. Meaning that there is a... I'm trying to look for another word for inspiration. There is a source or an influence in the hearts of men from which their word comes forth. Praise God. That's what I mean by inspiration. A kind of external influence or internal influence that you cannot see, but it influences what you say and do. So, for example, Elihu's own was saying the inspiration of the Almighty that gives a man understanding. You know, not anything can inspire anybody, right? The person that sang "Woe," I am almost certainly, very, very certain that that song was inspired by hard drugs. That weed or cocaine. You know, there's sometimes he's defending the man, he's shaking his head. Because there are sometimes that you are high, as you are so high, things will just start coming out from you like, because you cannot say that something that makes sense will come out from me, that does not make sense, will come out from a sane person. In fact, if you will see the video, it's obvious that the inspiration was weed, because that was what they were celebrating. So that can be the inspiration. So now, somebody has taken something and is full of something, or a person can be drunk, or you know, some person self can be inspired by heartbreak. A boo broke up with you. I know some persons now, like for example, if anything makes, if anything makes Jola not marry Joshua again, I'm sure that Joshua will turn to a musician. Oh, very good. He will just produce album upon album, and all the songs will be sad breakup songs. Oh, I wish you were here now. Oh, the times you've gone, oh, the times you... You know that kind of, why, is it a lie? So anything can inspire a song. You know that. So breakup, cocaine, even a demon can inspire a song. Or you know that, right? A demon can influence somebody's mind. And then the person does things that are not necessarily what he can understand. Praise God. It's as if this AC is not working. All right. So a person can be inspired by anything. Now, if you now look at that, a song that the inspiration came from heartbreak or a demon-possessed person. If we change the lyrics of that song, does it not make it a Christian song? If we change the lyrics to a Christian song. No, you know, you put that answered. And no, if a song now, let's use this example of this woe or a heartbreak song that was inspired by something else, and then you take that song and change the lyrics, does it make it a Christian song? He said yes. Okay. Andrew, does it make it a Christian song? Yes. Okay. Have you changed your mind? You've changed your mind. Okay. So if you know it will make it a Christian song, can I see your hand? Do you get my question? If the inspiration behind the song was something else, alcohol, booze, cocaine, weed, whatever, even a demon, and then the person brought out a song that was a big hit, and then everybody was, oh my God. So you that change your own, to change, take the song, lay hold on the song, tweak the lyrics, and then you bring forth your own version. Does it make it a Christian song? If the song will become a Christian song, and I see your hand, be proud of your opinion. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good. 5. Okay. Glory to God. Just 5. Okay. If it will not make the song a Christian, because I know we have a lot of fencers here. If it will not make the song a Christian song, can I see your hand? Oh, David, you have changed your mind. You have changed your mind. Is it stupid? That one will never work. If it will not make it a Christian song, can I see your hand, please? Okay. Brother Osi and Brother Tolu, I shall give you the microphone now to explain that your stand, which is on the fence, because I don't know that on the fence thing. that's your opinion. So if you like put it, so that, what does that mean exactly? The fact that a song contains Jesus will not make it Christian. That's what you said. And that opinion is Jesus. So if Jesus is in a song, it means the song is a Christian song. That's what you just said. Abi? Is that not what you said? Is that not what you said? Exactly. So, Brausi, what's your own fence position? I want to get as much so that we can know how to analyze it with scriptures. Why are you speaking for him? I use opinion too. Yeah, yes. In Christ. So it will make it a Christian song. Yes. Okay, so Brausi said it will make the song a Christian song. Glory to God. Let me call your name very full so everybody know that that's what you are. Brother Osilama said the song is going to be a Christian song if we change the lyrics. Okay, all right. Now, Job 32 again. Job 32, verse 8. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Can we glean from this scripture that if an inspiration does not come from the Almighty, no matter how wise in quote it may sound, it is not, there's no understanding in it. Do you agree? Person saying it makes it a Christian song. Andrew, do you agree? If the scripture says that there's a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty that gives understanding, it means if an inspiration is not coming from the Almighty, should we be right to say there is no understanding in it? Michael, we should be right. Tola, we should not be right. It means that there can be other inspiration apart from the Almighty that carries understanding. No. You see people down the fence. So what is your own? Now, see where we started from. Inspiration. That person might have sang that song, not have been inspired by cocaine or weed. It might be a believer that is ignorant. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, what is the source? What inspired that song? Do you understand? So, if we say we can take any lyrics, it means we can take any song from anywhere. We can take Opangangang style and put Christian thing and dance. Do you understand? So if all we should care about is the lyrics and not the source or the inspiration, then should we go ahead with that? If the Bible says that there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty that gives understanding, should we take whatever is not inspired by the Almighty as praise to him? So are we all on the same page of no now? Are we all on the same page of no? Are we following so far? I'm going as slow as I can. Okay, so it means the song must not just be correct. The lyrics must not just be correct. The inspiration as well behind the song must also be what? That's why we have to judge. Okay, for example, let's look at this scripture, Acts 16. This was a scripture that while I was in school then, I used to get upset with Paul because I did not understand why he did what he did. Acts 16. The background of the story was Paul was in a particular place and he wanted to go to different places and he kept being restrained from going to different places. And at the end of the day, he saw a vision that said he should go to Macedonia. And he went there and he got a woman filled, got her saved and filled, and a lot of things had already happened. That woman was Lydia. So he kept going around the city preaching. Now let's look at verse 16. Are we there? Acts 16, 16. Okay. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. And deep she did many days. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, did you follow that story? What was the girl saying? Was it right or wrong? Was it correct? Lyrically, was everything beautiful? Was she saying the truth? But the Bible specified and said she was saying it by a spirit of divination. And what was the response? You know, it followed many days, verse 18. And this she did many days. It means probably Paul was even just not wanting to act as quickly as possible because she's saying the truth. After all, she's giving us free publicity. She's telling everybody to listen to us. Abi? But the Bible now said it grieved him. He became aggrieved and then he commanded the spirit to come out. Meaning that it's not just a function of what somebody is saying. I saw a debate one day on Facebook and somebody was saying unbelievers can speak in tongues and interpret and give prophecy. And I'm like, eh? And you are championing it where you should tell the person, keep quiet. Out in the name of Jesus. Do you understand? When we know that tongues is the exclusive preserve of believers, now you are saying and you are trying to prove that an unbeliever was rambling and you called it tongues under the inspiration of who? Do you understand? So it is not just that, okay, yes, what he's saying is correct. Okay, let's just agree. Let's just agree. You can even see someone doing miraculous deeds and then your own spirit becomes aggrieved because this is not of God. So beyond the physical things, beyond what we hear, what we see, we are believers because we can discern. We don't get carried away. And somebody can just, for example, there was this song that came out and everybody was singing in churches. Buleya elu, buleluya elu, as we dey celebrate, we thank God, oh, you too much, oh. Rejoice, we are Igbo. What's been your buleya? Lift him up. Very correct song, Abi. Is that it's not correct? Buleya. As we celebrate, we thank God, though. There's nothing wrong in that part, Abi. You know, the anointing was, when I heard it in the church the first time, I'm like, okay. This song is sounding like a song I heard in a bus in Benin. I had to go and root it. But now I hear the beginning of the song. Hey. Thank God it's Friday. He said plenty of things. Then he now got to that. Buleya, buleya. And people were singing it in church. You know, the worst thing was when you can separate that. You do not sing the whole thing, no. Because you are singing on a Sunday, first of all. You can't carry that part. Like, say, okay, this one applies to us. Then you're not going to be praising God in church with a song that you don't know where it came from. Just because you felt this part ministered. Is that right? No, because if we are going to go by the lyrics, after all, it was not insulting God. So the fact that somebody, you know, some of these musicians, they might not be born again, no. Some of them might have a near-death experience. They don't even know what Bible is. But they just know that, like this song, you saved me. You saved me. You saved me. You saved me. That's all I can hear at the point in some churches. You saved me. Where did this song come from? R. Kelly. Simply explaining the times he wanted to die or something, and then he did not die. And then he now sang a song of You Saved Me. And then it was now our anthem. Christian songs and worship. Are we following? So beyond the lyrics, beyond who is singing, where is my, where is your source? Where are you singing from? Where are you singing from? Do you understand? Don't get carried away. Oh. The same way you don't be carried away by lyrics. Does not mean that anybody cannot just come. If we are going to go by that, we can call Flavor and the band. I say, come and lead worship for us. While you are here, only sing Christian songs. If I come and lead, what is our song now? At the center of it all, it's you that I see. We can call Flavor. Come and sing it. Will it not work? After all, he's singing the right thing. Do you understand? So it's the same kind of emphasis, the same kind of specification you do. That's the same way you analyze and scrutinize. What are you singing? Who is singing it? And where are you singing it from? Praise God. So those three things must be in tandem. All of them must correlate for you to be able to give any song your approval. Praise the Lord. Are we on the same page? Are we still bedridden? Okay. All right. So, okay. Oh, we have said that an unbeliever should not just go and bring out one song and then you now analyze and say, this song is correct. Then you just now start singing it everywhere and say in church because the lyrics are correct. It's an insult to your abilities because God has made you the one to worship him and he has given you the ability to the spirit, and yet you despise that and go and bring out a song that somebody just brought from somewhere. Praise the Lord. The worship to God must be in spirit and in truth. Okay, all right, so we are the ones that have been created to give God perfect praise, and we have all we need to do this through tongues and interpretation. Okay. At this junction, I need to say this. That's why I wrote it specifically. It's not as if we are on a dismantling spree to just be saying, you see this song, out. You see this song, out. You see this musician, out. For example, I know there was a time Pastor did a post on Facebook last year that brought one kind of serious backlash. And he just wrote a song. Beautiful song. Oh, I love that song. The instrument in that song is beautiful. As is, you would just, even you want to just cry. Oh, Lord. No, I'm not. No, way. Set my heart on fire. Except you want to beat this song. Yeah? I want to burn for you. Yeah. Let me burn for you. Oh, Lord. Set my life in order. Let me burn for you, oh Lord. And then I watched the video and I saw people crying. You know, they were crying. I said, you have not seen the video. They were literally crying. The song could have passed, but then she now started talking. I want to know your way. I want to be like you. Come and align me to you. And I'm like, okay. This, as much as it sounded very nice, sounded like somebody that is passionate for God, but it is not correct according to scriptures. How will you be begging God to make you like who? Do you understand? How else do you want him to align your life again to him? And then when you write that, when you say that, I'm like, this song is beautiful. This woman has passion. She's a believer. She just needs to be well taught so that her songs can carry the correct revelation. And people come and attack you and say, are you now saying, who are you to judge? This woman is blessing lives. This person is doing this work. Brethren, the emphasis of the scripture must stand irrespective of who is saying it. I know at that time, I did not even see it. I did not know that Nathan Ebasi came to comment. And unfortunately for him, Pastor does not even know who he is. And so Pastor just responded to him like any other person. And then the man decided his comment and ran away. It was later somebody was going to tell him, do you know who you are talking to? And I'm like, who, I beg? He says, Nathan Ebasi, who is he? He's the one that sang Book of Life. He really heard that. He became upset. I did not even know he was the one that sang that stupid song. His name in the Book of Life. He now went to do his own detailed post and say, come, it's your own name in the Book of Life. After you sang it, you did not even tell us whether your name is there or not. So it's not a function of personality. Do you understand? It is a function of what are you saying? You brought out a song to scare the whole body of Christ. And many persons heard that song and they were crying, not knowing whether an angel would turn them back. And you are happy. So it is not the fact that we are just trying to say out. We are saying, what does the scripture teach? What should be done? Do you understand? And then we are not just with mouth. You know, some persons will say, it's only mouth people have. Bring your own songs now. The funny thing is that it is as easy as like, do you understand? So that's why believers must be taught. It's not difficult to bring out songs. What is there? You can sit down. If you know you don't compose, you have never composed a song in your life. Can I see your hand? If you know you've never composed one line of song or two lines, you never. Not even when you're in the bathroom. I know when we are baiting, all of us are serious musicians. There, our voice is the perfect ones. You now come out of the bathroom and wonder why your voice is no longer as fine. It was very fine there. I don't know what is making bathroom make the voice very fine. You'll be singing. Is the echo there? The voice in the bathroom is well fine. I'll not come here and I hold microphone and my voice is no longer fine. My voice is fine in the bathroom. You can ask my bathroom, it knows. So it's not like we're just trying to say out. We are showing you that you can do it. So we are bringing out the songs that can replace it. That was Pastor's passion when he started singing his finished works. The fact that We are saying this is the way music should be. You can sing a song that brings edification. You can never edify the saints without correct scriptural interpretation. There's no way. And if the purpose of what you have achieved in a song is not unto edification, then like I said last week, go and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. There's no difference. Just come to church and be singing Twinkle, Twinkle. What's that one we did that? Pussycat, Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the Queen. Oh yeah, you two can go to London. Hey, your visa is coming. Hey, in the name of Jesus. You know, you can just, what if all you are singing is Let Us Dance, then just go and sing Once I Saw a Little Bed. Well, if you say I'm in church for one another, to give God praise, to glorify God, then things must be done according to his precepts, according to his laid down instruction. Christianity is not a place where we are choose to do what we like. We are free in Christ. Ah, you know, especially grace folks, we are free. Henceforth, stand therefore in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. Whatever we do, so long as it's from the new creation, it is acceptable unto God. You've not heard all those rubbish. As long as I'm born again, whatever I do is acceptable. Our songs must not be any less different. We must not be indifferent. That's what I'm trying to analyze. We must not be passive. We must not see music as it's just anything just goes. We will not see our songs. Okay, we can come out together and sing anything. You have not taught us. You have not shown us clearly who God is. You've done nothing. Nothing. And yet we should be singing along with you. Something is wrong. Okay. All right. So it's not a difficult task. We're going to read Psalm 84. We're going to read Psalm 84. Wow. Jesus Christ. I still have like how many pages to go? We have to be as fast as possible. Psalm 84. Let us see who we actually are. Psalm 84. Are we there? Yeah, I know. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? My soul longeth, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. Verse 3. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Oh, man, there's a lot of things to read. Anyway, it's the whole scripture with the whole verse. But I wanted us to see what David was trying to emphasize. He was envious of the house of God. Why? Because he felt that was where the praise of God was. Do you understand? And then he said, blessed are those that dwell in the house of God. Because as long as those people are there, they will still be praising God, right? Now, that is a cry of David, attributing and tying the praise to God, to the dwelling place of God. Now, in this testament, where is the dwelling place of God? Where is the dwelling place of God? Where does God dwell? So where should the praise of God continually be? So should it be only when you come to church? The praises, don't get into that atmosphere where you don't treat praises to God as important. Do you understand? Do you know what causes that? Do you know why we are not eager, or why it feels like we are struggling to express ourselves in praise, or why we are struggling to bring forth new songs? It's because two things. We either don't fully appreciate what God has done in Christ, or we are not glad about it. If you understand fully all that God did in Christ to save. You know, I'm trying to reduce our scripture reading. We read Ephesians 5. Let's just read Colossians 3:16. Read only one of that. Colossians 3:16. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, if we are admonished that we should if the same admonishment is in Ephesians 5, it says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by him. It means that Paul was trying to condition our mindset. We don't see God outside Christ. We don't see God outside Christ. It means when you want to praise God, your default response should either be what he has done or what he has made you. Do you get the difference? For example, you know, many persons, the praises comes naturally when you get a job. For example, now Joshua does not have a job. If Joshua gets a job, paying him, not take home pay is 1.5. They remove their tax, they remove all their pension, they remove everything. And then what you are taking home is 1.5 million with an official car, of course, an official residence, not a 3-bedroom flat, just a standard duplex, just come with an SUV. You know, as he's reading the employment letter and the terms of condition, he's already, oh Lord, I am very, very grateful for all you have done for me. Oh Lord. As you know, he would not even switch to his own native language. But you know, I don't know your. Hey, me, Rababa. He would not even go down and do the old Rababa thing. Why? Because that made more sense to him. Abi, they gave him 1.5 million there. He would just call Tola. Hey, babe, we are married next month. Tell your father. Okay, let me not embarrass you more. But you understand what I'm trying to say? So that joy just spontaneously brings out songs. You don't even if your voice is bad, you don't even know when you would die. All the rejoice, they will tell you, come to church and rejoice. You don't know when you jump. Yeah! In fact, maybe because the interviewer is, you don't want to overdo. You're like, You will not even be able to talk again. So you don't. Yeah. Then the person just goes, rejoice that you cannot. Why? See what is more real to you. See your value. Do you understand? The same way, if you value what God has done, you value the fact that you never go to hell. If you value the fact that you never die again, if you value the fact that you are eternally saved, you would, if you are happy about it, there's no way. You will not even want to sing anything else. Do you understand? Once the Lord Bagbara is turning things around. What? Deep things, I don't understand it. If the priority of scripture is this, all that God has done for you to save, you can't praise him outside that. Of course, it don't mean that all the, you know, the confessors, when you tell them this, they will say, are you now saying that all we should be singing is Jesus died and rose again? He died and rose again. And that's all we should be. There are a lot of songs. You can sing songs concerning your identification without even mentioning died and buried and rose once. You have joy. You have peace. You have love, you are holy, you are righteous, you are sanctified. You have a lot, if you understand scriptures, understand who, that's why Paul kept saying that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. The more you know, the more songs just come forth. Do you understand? It's not a big deal. So if you find yourself struggling, that, these things don't make sense to me. I don't know how to sing in tongues. How can I just see that you'll be singing in tongues? How can I just be bringing out songs? Check your appreciation of what Christ has done. They go hand in hand, though. They go hand in hand. They do. Because if what can make you glad, what can make you happy, is only the fact that you are comfortable, you have money, you know what we talked about today, peace. Last week we talked about joy. And the fact that these things are not tied to physical things. Because even the unbeliever will be happy if he gets that kind of job. The annoying thing is that even the persons that are even earning so much ridiculous amounts, they don't even see it as something to even be thankful about. just poverty that has now rearranged and restructured our priorities, because there are some kind of things that are never worth rejoicing over. Do you get? So why would you not be happy about poverty that has made you see 1.5 million as the end of life? And the annoying thing, very annoying, is that when you start earning that 1.5 million, after 1 year, it doesn't make sense again. The money can no longer meet your needs. You'll now be struggling. Ha! This month, you'll be calculating the salary before time. Do you understand? It doesn't work. So if you want to tie it to all the novelty will pass, all the joy, the initial satisfaction and thrill will all go. And then you are stuck. You're never, at the end of the day, you will join the bandwagon of persons that are saying they hate their jobs. You've not heard that. There are people that are paying any more than 2 million naira, and you will see hear them complaining the most. I hate my job. I hate my job. But they don't have a choice, because they will just, that job gives them 2 million. They are going. So you can't tie that to, you can't tie your praises to all those kind of rubbish. Does it make sense? Or you want to tie it to the fact that you are well? What would not happen if you are sick? The only permanent thing is all that God has done in Christ. Once you want to attribute the praise to God to anything else, you will falter. But there will come times where you don't even feel like, who is God and what has he done? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what God has done, he has done well. He has done well. He has done well. All we have in Christ should make us glad. There's this song we used to sing there in our former church. This, do, 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 ogene do, ogene do. I know many of you don't know the name of the song. Okay. Who should I ask now? Eh? Juliet, what's the meaning? It's more than thanks. Do you understand? Do is, because I grew up in Delta State, do is not just to say thank you. Do is to actually greet you when you have done something well. Do you understand? As when you are coming from work and you are tired and you are carrying this thing, all these women then that will carry, because in Delta State, it is women that go to farm and bicycle with their everything. The men just give birth to children and then just chill out and drink their hot shots, but times have changed anyway. They're now educated. But that's the way it was. So when they're coming back from the farm, sweating like that, the men will stretch their leg. Do, do, do. You know, it's beyond thank you. They're just telling you, you've done well. You have worked well. So when the person is telling, do, 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 again, do, as in, he's telling God that you have done well. As in, you're telling somebody, well done. For this, you have, as in, well done. What you get? So as simple as that song is, it just shows gratitude. That's what the work you did it well. That's all. The work you did it well. So when you want to get when we say bring forth new songs, it does not necessarily mean you bring six stanzas. Eh? One line of song, two lines, five words. Fine. If it expresses what you actually understand about what God has done. Do you get me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. All right. So when we understand, when we value these things that God has done for us, so you can start playing now. We will come out. It becomes a second nature to us. But the last thing I will emphasize today, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3:12. Just the last scripture. 2 Corinthians 3:12. With them. 2 Corinthians 3:12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Paul was talking about the fact that Moses, during Moses' time, they had veils to cover themselves and the people could not behold clearly. But now he said, we don't need to cover anything. Plainness of speech. Remember what I said last week. Your song must not carry incomplete revelation. It must not carry a partial revelation. You must not leave people wondering, what are you actually saying? In this covenant, we say things clearly, plainly. For example, this man is saying, he lives in you. He lives in you. What are you saying? Who lives in who? He watches over. Like Pastor Derek used to say, even the goat can live in you. So specify. God don't just come and be bamboozling us with you. He lives in you. When you are singing things, let it be clear. Don't leave your hearers in any doubt as to what you are saying. Do you get? We don't cover things in this covenant. It is plain. It is clear. It is so. As you bring forth songs, as simple as they are, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's just simple. A song that shows this is what I understand of what God has done, and I'm grateful for it. I'm happy about it. I'm glad about it. Don't worry, it does not have to be. I know, of course, it takes a certain level of skill to compose songs to make it touch. But if me, with my zero voice and zero knowledge of music, I can at least compose something that somebody can sing, it means anybody can compose. Though. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It does not, it is not, don't worry, we are men, or we judge things by the Spirit. It's not just a function of the fact that it's not sounding, it's not rhyming. We have able-bodied ministers of God that can give us. Bra OC is here, so we have a lot of persons that Christine's here. Just bring the song the way it is. We'll you understand? You understand what I'm trying to say? Just sing it as it will blend it for you. We have the instruments here, we'll do it. Let's just enjoy ourselves. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you understanding me? Alright, can we be on our feet? Can we be on our feet? Can we be on our feet? We have to sing in the Spirit. All the music team, please come and take your microphones. Thank you. Glory to God. As many microphones as we have, just give them. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm happy. Hallelujah. Okay, so we have to sing in the Spirit. We have to sing in our understanding also. We have to sing for songs that reflect who we are. And we are to give praises to the God that made it so. Hallelujah. Are you happy about that? You understand what God has done for you? And you know, you have the ability to praise. So just continue singing in tongues. We'll all sing in tongues as a whole. We'll sing in tongues together. Whether you are playing the drum, whether you are playing the keyboard, whether you are manning microphones, we are all singing in tongues together. And if you receive a song, be free to pause me and say, I've got a song. And let us all sing it. You know, all of you must sing, sir, before you leave yesterday. Okay, all right, let's go. Lift up your voice and sing. I'm not saying you should sing in your belly. Lift up your voice and sing it.